Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is, by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another week, another day, bringing to you His great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the house of Israel, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And here, I may add, we located here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street. But who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And he is our only savior, and not just of Israel. But Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to come before you another day, another week. It's been brought to my attention, which I already knew, that the people want to be heard. The people want to know. And the people seem to seek to know Yahweh. And the only way you can know Yahweh is that you know Yahweh's word. But oftentimes we find that everybody has an opinion. Everybody has their understanding. Everybody has their own wisdom and knowledge. And so our people had a tendency to give you their opinion, their wisdom, their understanding, rather than the word of Yahweh. And what this has done is has caused many of our people to stumble. Stumble in a way that now no one can tell you, even if you ask them, who is the man of Elohim? For everybody think they are right. And the scripture says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. The scripture teaches every man is right in his own eyes, but the counsel of Yah shall stand. So we're going to go to the book and we're going to answer your questions. If the Creator give us the wisdom, the understanding to go into his book, that's exactly what we're going to do. And we're not going to allow for hearsay, their say, you say, my say, or any opinions dealing with the Creator's word. For surely if Yahweh sent you to tell you, thus is Yah, and send you to the people, should not he have sent you with his word? So let's see who Yahweh's servant really is. And so now we will open up the floor to the various questions that our people have, no matter what the question is. I may add, though, I'm sure there's a lot of questions that our people have. So if I cannot get right to the point, I just move on and come back to that question. Now, if I can't answer it today, we'll answer it tomorrow. But make no mistake about it, all week long, all we're going to deal with is the questions from our people. For if you want to know Yahweh and you have a heart to come near unto him, then we will see, because we're going to answer these questions. And my brother Lemuel will give me the questions. There's some already he has given me. Should I just start with those? Yes, if you're on Blog Talk and you have a question, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone, and we will see your hand, and we will take your question. And then once we take your question, press the number 1 again, and then that will take you off the air. All right, one of the questions that was brought to my attention is about women wearing pants. This question came from one of our beautiful sisters, and I want to answer it. And this is a very controversial thing in Israel, but it don't have to be. And let's go to the scripture that she's speaking about. I'm sure it's in the book of Deuteronomy. And this is the one she's speaking about. In the book of Deuteronomy 22, because I don't want to assume. And this is what it says. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the law, first and foremost. And then we will give the understanding. This is what it says. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto Yahweh thy Elohim. And to me, this scripture don't leave room for confusion at all. The only ones that's confused about this scripture is people who want to add to it or take away from it. And we're not going to do that. All you have to know is this thing that I'm wearing, is it designed for a woman? The question is, well, pants are designed for a man. And let's just tell the truth. All pants are not designed for a man. Everybody know that. Regardless if you believe women should wear pants or not, all pants are not designed for a woman. I mean, for a man. To say that, it's just not the truth. Women pants don't even come in men sizes, let alone designed for a man. And this scripture could have easily said, the woman shall not wear pants. It didn't say that. It says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. What do the word pertains mean? In other words, it's designed, it's formed, it's made specifically, exclusively for a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Speaking of clothing, for all that do so are an abomination unto Yahweh thy Elohim. The word pants is not even mentioned here at all. So, if this meant pants, this is what you got to ask yourself. Can women wear shorts? In other words, all shorts are pants without legs. That's all shorts are. So can a woman wear shorts? Can a women wear swimsuits? Because many of the swimsuits, all they are some shorts and a shirt. Some people say, well, they're underwear and a shirt. Or some people might say they underwear and a bra. But either way, can they wear swimsuits? Can they wear shorts? Can they work at a job that requires pants? These are all the things you have to ask yourself. And if a woman, because the scriptures say false balance is an abomination unto Yahweh. So if a woman cannot wear pants, then that can only mean one thing and one thing only. A man cannot wear a skirt. You can't have it both ways. If a man cannot wear, a woman can't wear pants, then a man can't wear a skirt. And we know that ain't the truth, because watch what the scriptures say in the book of Psalms 133. And I know people teach this, and I know people believe this. But where are their facts? Not their opinions. Everybody got an opinion. I want to see facts. In other words, I want to see the word of Yahweh. Watch what it says. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, how pleasant is that, Yahweh? Watch what it says. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. What does that mean? Little do people know, men in the scriptures wore skirts. There was a time David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back from our enemies to Jerusalem, and he was dancing so hard, the scripture said his skirt rose up, and he exposed himself because he was celebrating, dancing to the Most High. And his skirt came up. Of course, if it was for man to wear pants, then that we would never read that. So how can a woman, you say a woman can't wear pants, but then you go and show a man can wear a skirt? A false balance is abomination to Yahweh. Yes, a man can wear skirts, and yes, a woman can wear pants. There's no law against neither. But the skirt that a man wore, it was fashioned, it was made, and it was designed for a man. He didn't go put on his wife's skirt. And likewise, the pants that women wore was designed for a woman. It was made for a woman. Now, one might ask, well, what about this unisex stuff that people wear? Unisex meaning man and woman, both can, either can wear it. And yes, they have a lot of stuff that's unisex. In truth, if you think that's wrong, then you don't wear it. If you have doubt, you don't wear it. But if someone happened to wear a t-shirt that a man and a woman can wear, is that wrong? And the question is no. And why? Because in the book of Deuteronomy, where we read the law, it says a man should not wear a woman's garment. In other words, this garment is made exclusively for her. We know how women t-shirts are made, and they design and made different from a man's t-shirt. And likewise, we know how a man's shirt is made, and it's designed and made different from a woman. You can tell the difference from a man's garment and a woman's garment. And if you can't tell the difference, then give Yahweh the benefit of doubt. But don't just make a man sinning and a woman sinning because of your beliefs. The way we sin is breaking the law. And if a woman can't wear pants, then that only can mean that a man can't wear a skirt. And we know that ain't the truth. Hallelujah. Next question was asked about the evening. When is the evening? Is the evening before it get dark? Is the evening at dark? In other words, when it get dark, when it get night, is that evening? Or is it before? In all the scriptures that I read, and we'll go over a couple, the evening is always a part of day. And it's always before night. It's before night. Not at night, not during the night. How do we know evening is not part of night or not at night? The word erev or evening, which comes from the Hebrew word erev, it means mixed, intertwined. In other words, the light and the darkness is intertwined with one another. The darkness is overcoming the light. But it don't overcome it until it gets dark and it's no longer evening. So evening is a mixture of a little dark and day. And Yahweh separated the day from the night. And the evening is the portion in which she begins to separate. And let me show you this because we have laws talking about this. Go to the book of Deuteronomy 23. This is the law. We read the law in Deuteronomy 22 and 5 showing if it is true that a woman can't wear pants, then that could only mean a man can't wear skirts. And we know all through the scriptures, a man wore skirts. As a matter of fact, there's nothing in the scriptures that even talk about pants, period. Nowhere in the scriptures. This thing, the wearing pants and all that, this some European thing. Our people didn't wear pants at all, men or women. Neither one. This is not how, this was not part of our culture. This is a part of somebody else's culture. So if you're saying we shouldn't wear pants because it's not about our, it's not a part of our culture, then I would say, okay, yeah, that I can see that. If you say, well, we can't wear pants because it's not in the scriptures, okay, it's not against the law, but I can understand your rationale. But if you say a woman can't wear pants and they got pants made just for a woman, where's that scripture? As a matter of fact, the scripture said a woman can't wear pertaining to a man. They got man shirts, man pants, man shoes, man socks, man drawers. In other words, it's not just talking about some pants. It's talking about anything or all the garments that pertains and designed and formed and fashioned for a man. But in truth, you got to be very careful today, because now we got a lot of homosexuals designing clothes. And it's hard to tell if it's for a man or a woman. And that's the truth. So you got to be real careful today. And so it's best to have Israel make your clothes. And there's a lot of Israelites around the country that make clothes. And you might want to seek them out. In the book of Deuteronomy 23, now we're talking about the evening. When is the evening? And I may add, you have a lot of people, a lot of Israelite congregations where they will go way past the Sabbath. Sabbath is over, and they're still conducting their class. And this is not scripture at all. They're going way past dark. And I'm going to show you, this is not the word of Yahweh. But you need to know what evening is first. In the book of Deuteronomy 23, and this is what it says. Watch what it says, because I'm trying to get right to the point. 10th verse. If there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanness, that chanceth him by night. In other words, this is the nighttime, and he had like a wet dream, or he became unclean in that night. Then shall he go abroad out of the camp. Now he got to go. He got to get out of the camp because he's unclean, and the camp was holy. He shall not come within the camp. Now watch this. But it shall be when evening coming on. In other words, you can look out in the sky and you can see, okay, evening is coming on. It's coming on. He shall wash himself with water. And when the sun is down, and when it says when the sun is down, that means when the sun is gone, he shall come into the camp again. So what is this letting us know? In other words, before this day go out, in other words, when evening coming on, before this day go out, you got to wash yourself. You got to clean yourself. Because that's when evening coming on. Evening is the last part of the day. It's not the beginning of night. This thing you've been taught and told is not the truth. Evening is the last part of the day. And let me show you this. So when evening coming on, wash yourself, clean yourself. You can see when it didn't say when morning coming on. It didn't say when noon coming on. It didn't say, wash yourself, clean yourself, afternoon. It didn't say that. and holy words and terminologies are in the scriptures. But it says when evening, because evening is a very specific time of the day coming on, wash yourself, clean yourself. But when the sun is gone, now you can come in because you done already washed yourself. You don't wait till night. You don't wait till the sun is gone to start washing yourself. You did this before night. And why? Because Yahweh wants this done on that day, not that night. Let me show you this. Exodus 22. Or let's go to Leviticus 22 first. Leviticus 22. And what question are we answering right now? When is evening? And I'm here to show you evening is before the night. Evening is not night. If you at night, you miss evening. The Almighty didn't want you praying in morning and night. He could have easily said that. He said he wanted his prayer in the morning and evening. He wanted his sacrifice morning and evening. And I want you to see that. Watch what this says. Leviticus 22. And this is what it says. I'm going to start the fourth verse. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper, or having run an issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. When is that? When shall he be clean? And whoso toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed go from him, as I said, wet dream, or in other words, this what the scripture called the seed of copulation, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing, thereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he has. The soul which have touched any such shall be unclean until even. Now, when is evening? Evening, again, is part of the day. Evening is the last part of the day. It is the time period where the day become mixed and you start saying, like, is it day or is it night? Because it's mixed. Is it Sabbath over or is it not Sabbath over? See, when it's night, there is no question. When it's day, there is no question. Or it's day, man. Or it's night, man. But then there's a period of time where everybody get confused. Like, man, is the Sabbath over? Is it day or night? What is this? Well, that is called evening. And watch what it says. Sixth verse, the soul which I touch any such shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat other holy things unless he washes flesh with water. Because when do you wash your flesh with water? Even, when evening coming on. Why? Because that's the last part of the day. And you got to clean yourself before the day go out. Don't clean yourself before the day go out, then you still unclean until the next evening. This is what people don't understand, because you allowed this day to go out before you clean yourself. Now you still ain't clean. And watch what it says. And when the sun is gone, he shall be clean, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. So what do this mean? This means At evening time, wash yourself. At evening time, get yourself together. Then, when it's night, when it's dark, when the sun is gone, now you can reestablish yourself with your family. Now you can eat other holy things. Now you can come back into the camp. Now you can reintegrate yourself. But you can't wait till it's night, wait till it's dark to start washing yourself. Now you went past evening. Another scripture. On this subject. And I'm just taking a few more scriptures on this because this is very important. It's just too many laws to let you know about evening. Watch what it says. Genesis 15. Now I just got one more scripture after this, and then we're going to take your other questions. Genesis 15 and 12. Watch what happens. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horrible great darkness fell upon him. So now, let's set the scene. The sun is going down. That's all we know. The sun is going down. But watch what it says. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Who is that? Well, that's Israel. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come here again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and really what this really says, when the sun was gone in Hebrew, and it was dark. In other words, evening is a time when the sun is going down. It is the time where there's still light and darkness. But as we can see in the 17th verse, and it came to pass that when the sun went down, in other words, it was gone. And it was dark. If you didn't understand what it meant by the sun went down, it let you know it was dark. Now it's dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river of Euphrates. There's a difference between the evening and night, the evening and dark. There's a difference. And the last scripture on this is in a book of Isaiah or Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, the 46th chapter, and this is the last scripture in the book of Ezekiel concerning evening. When is evening? Ezekiel 46, and I'm going to start reading at the very first verse. And watch what it says. Thus is Yah Elohim. The gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. And watch what it says. But on the Sabbath it shall be open. And in the day of the new month, it shall be open. I mean, this easily could have said in the new moon, as many people believe. No, it says in the day of the new month, it shall be open. And watch what it says. And the prince shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate without, and shall stand by the post of the gate. And the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offering, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. And when is the evening? The evening is not at night. The evening is not darkness. The evening is before it get night, before it get dark. Evening is the time period, as I stated before, the word erev means mixed, mingled. And there's a scripture I want you to see too. And look this scripture up. It's use the word Arab. A-R-A-B. Arab. I just want y'all to see something real quick concerning this evening. Of course, it's that word actually comes from the Hebrew word Arab. When people see it in English, they say Arab. That's Arab. Yes, and it's in the book of Kings. Let me know when you have it. And we'll get the other questions too. And we don't spend a lot of time if you don't see it, but all right, and what was our other questions?
Shalom. Questions from Facebook. Who are the Chaldeans?
The question is asked, who are the Chaldeans? The Chaldeans, according to the scriptures, let's see. If I can't answer this real quick, to show you, then we'll come back to it. But let me look at this scripture real quick. All right, we're in the book of Genesis. The question is, who are the Chaldeans? So let's go to the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter. And this is what it says in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, the 27th verse. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. Of course, the Chaldees is where the Chaldeans come from. But this also is where Abraham and his family also came from. And watch what it says. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son's, Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And so who are the Chaldeans? Well, the Chaldeans come from this same place that Abram came from. When you study even the language of the Chaldeans, it is very, it's a sister language that what we know of as Hebrew, not this modern Hebrew, but Hebrew is the sister language of Chaldeans, because this is where our fathers came from. Chaldea also is known today as the location in which you find many of the Eastern countries today, and particularly Iraq. And what they found in Iraq is many of the ancient artifacts of what people will call ancient Babylon, or the home of Abraham. Many of the artifacts was found there. In Iraq, they had one of the most historic and ancient museums. In other words, they had many ancient artifacts that they had discovered and found. Many things that we're reading in the scriptures. This is where they came from. So, who are the Chaldeans? Not only our people came from that, or Abraham and his family came from that location, but many of the Arabs today also in the ancient Babylon. Now, what do ancient Babylon have to do with the Chaldeans? Because, and I don't have enough time to go over it today, but I will go over this particular question in more depth, because you'll read about Chaldea today and the Chaldeans today. And a lot of times, little do people know, it's used as a metaphor to speak about the daughter of Babylon. And why? Because Chaldea and Chaldeans is ancient, a part of ancient Babylon. And so when it talk about the daughter of Babylon, it would also use Chaldea or Chaldeans. And we'll go over that in full depth. But the Chaldeans is not a specific, particular people, because when this place was started, it was a a mix of people from ancient Babylon, and Abraham and his family came from Ur of Chaldea. That's where they came from. Scripture. But I will deal with this in more depth. Next question.
Some say Shabbat is the only in daytime, yet the same Hebrew word for day is used when a commandment reference perpetual days. Does that mean a woman cycle is clean when it is dark?
No. The question is asked once again. Since there are people who believe that the day, only the light period, and a woman is said to be unclean for 7 days, does that mean that when it becomes night, since that's not part of the day, since that is just darkness, does that mean she becomes clean? And the answer is absolutely no. Not mean that at all. And I'm going to prove it to you. But first, let's define a day. See, a lot of times people go to the concordance to define words. And the concordance don't define nothing. The concordance don't give you meaning and definitions. All the concordance do, and all these biblical references do, is transliterate and translate words. So they'll take the word day, and they'll say it comes from the Hebrew word yom, and then they will show you all the very words that they translated from yom. So they might have day, they might have space, they may have year, they may have all kind of other words. But according to the scriptures, they mean one thing and one thing only. And let me show you what Yahweh called day. Now, if they mean what you say it means, what you believe it means, then all you got to do is give me the scripture. That's it. We can understand scriptures. And if we are to go by the word of Yahweh and we tremble at his word, then give me the scripture that defines day. Not opinion, not conjecture, but scripture. And watch what the scriptures say concerning day. If we go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, this is what Elohim said. This is not what Isaiah is saying. This is not what thus says you, and thus says me, and thus says him, and thus says her. But let's see what thus said Elohim. And watch what it says. Genesis, the first chapter, the third verse. And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day. Now, how do that look for me to call the night day when Elohim called the light day? How do that look for me to call anything day other than what he said is day? Did not he have a law that said don't add to his word and don't take away from his word? Regardless of what your wisdom is, regardless of what your understanding is, we're supposed to go by Elohim. And look what he said. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. In other words, after that, it says, and there was evening, And there was morning. In the Hebrew, it don't say first day at all. Even though that's what you're reading in here, in the Hebrew, it don't say the evening and the morning. It says there was evening. It says there was morning. Because those are certain parts of the day. And then it would say, and there became one day. Or day one. Even though many of our Hebrew scholars who know Hebrew through and through, you know what they would say? They were all through all their literature, all the various Hebrew teachers, every last single one of them were called the first day Rishon. Yom Rishon. That's not what Yahweh called the first day. That's not what Elohim called the first day. He called it Yom Echad, which means day one. So why can't we call it what Yahweh called it? Why do we got to call it what other people call it? Because Elohim didn't say Yom Rishon. And if Elohim said Yom Rishon, show me in the book. That's all you got to do is show me in a book. I'm showing you that in Genesis, the first chapter, the fifth verse, it says Yom Echad. Look up your Hebrew and see if I'm telling you the truth. But when you read it in English, it don't say Yom Echad. It's a first day. Now, does that mean every night within this 7 days a woman becomes clean, since the word day just means light? Well, let me show you that's not true. That she do not become clean just because it gets night. The scriptures say wisdom is the principal thing. But with all that getting, get understanding. So let's go to the law in the book of Leviticus, the 15th chapter. And what we're going to do, and the Almighty had already showed me this, we're going to separate people's opinions and people's thoughts and people's ways and people's feelings from the law and from thus says Yahweh. Because what people have been doing is getting thus says their opinion, thus says their feelings, thus says their ways, thus says their thoughts, rather than thus says Yahweh. And now, because we have allowed the people to do this, now nobody knows the man of Elohim. Because everybody thinks their opinions have weight. Their thoughts have value when Yahweh say otherwise. He say forsake our thoughts and forsake our ways. And watch what the law say in the book of Leviticus, the 15th chapter. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whoso toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. In other words, if somebody touched this woman, what if her sister touch her? She's unclean. Some people are under the pressure that a woman can't make another woman clean. It says anyone that touches her shall be what? Unclean. And how long she shall be set apart? It says 7 days. What do that mean? In other words, this thing, which is a woman, shall not be messed with, shall not be touched for 7 days. In other words, you can't wait till it get night after the first day and say, well, I'm going to touch her now because it ain't day. No, it says she shall be set apart 7 days. So in other words, I got to wait 7 days regardless of what's in between the days. I can't touch her because she shall be set apart 7 days, not 1 day, not 2 days, not 3 days, seven. If somebody told you don't come to work for 7 days, that don't mean you wait till the day is over and then at night go to work. No, you don't come to work for 7 days. If somebody tell you, look here, man, for 7 days, man, you can just go to town in this store, man. You don't stop going to town. You for 7 days, you in there. Irregardless of what's in between these days. Let somebody tell you, you can get off work for 7 days. See if you come back at night. No, you're not about to come back at night. You'll be back after 7 days. But as soon as we start talking about the law, you seem that you can't understand this thing now. No, you apart 7 days. Let's keep reading. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation, because how long is she separated? 7 days. Shall be unclean. So her bed is unclean. So brothers, you don't supposed to be sleeping with no woman that's unclean for 7 days. And you don't wait till it's night, well, it ain't day. Yeah, but it's the 7 days over with. No, it ain't over with. So why are you in my bed? We just 2 days in. We just 3 days in. And I know, sisters, you want to be touched during that time. You want to feel love during that time. And I understand that because everybody want to be loved. But look, this ain't your law. It ain't my law. Yahweh said we're supposed to be a holy people. And to be a holy people, we got to adhere to his law. It says again, but everything she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. In other words, if you touch her bed, now you got to get yourself together and do the same thing in the evening that you do with all the other scriptures that I read in the evening. In other words, before it get dark, before it get night, you have to start washing yourself. Getting yourself together. Then when it get night, you cool. But you wash yourself and get yourself and be unclean until the evening, because that's when you start getting yourself together. Not in the morning, not at noon, not afternoon, but at evening. Furthermore, it says, and whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. A lot of people say, well, a woman can't cook then. Where did I say that at? Some people say, well, she touched a pan. It didn't say anything she touched. It said anyone that touched her. It said anybody that lie upon the bed where she lied on. It said anybody that sit upon the chair that she sit on. Didn't say if she touched the doorknob, now I can't go out the house because you touched the doorknob. No, just because she touched the doorknob don't mean you can't touch the doorknob. But you can't touch her. Watch what it says. And if her bed, and if it be on her bed or anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. Now he got the blood on him. So now, just like she unclean 7 days, he's unclean 7 days. And all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. This is self-explanatory. There's no confusion in this at all. You're unclean for 7 days. In other words, leave me alone for 7 days. And just because you have periods of darkness in between those 7 days, it's still not 7 days. Now, after 7 days, then come see me. Come touch me. Come mess with me. But we got to wait until 7 days. When Aaron and his sons were anointed with the anointing oil, Moses told them to come into, and you'll find this in the book of Leviticus, the 8th chapter. It says, come into the sanctuary and do not go out of this sanctuary for 7 days. They didn't wait till it get nice. Say, oh, man, I can come out, get me some fresh air. And no, they couldn't come out for 7 days. Yahweh is not the author of confusion. The only people confused is the various opinions, the various thoughts, feelings, ways of our people. But there is no confusion in Yah. We have another question.
Let's kind of deal with this.
And one of our beautiful sisters, she asked, what exactly is Chaldea? And I'll, as I said before, I'll go into a little bit more depth about that. But Chaldea is a particular, it's a place. It's a particular place, a particular location. As I stated before, it is where Abraham and his family came from. But they came from a specific place called the Ur of Chaldea. So it's more than just Ur in Chaldea, but that's where they came from. And so, but it's a particular place. This place was known as ancient Babylon. And one of the locations in modern time is Iraq. Yes. Yeah. The sister asked me, y'all don't know because I have people here also in the sanctuary. But the sister asked, and then we go back to the internet. The sister asked, well, was Ezekiel in Chaldea? Yes, he was. And where is that? And let me show y'all this. One thing she pointed out in the book of Ezekiel 11 chapter, let us turn there. Just show you that this is ancient Babylon. In the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. And this is what it says. In the 22nd verse. Then did the cherubims lift up. And this question is on Chaldea. Just like I asked, who are the Chaldeans? Well, the Chaldeans were not a specific particular people. It was a mixture of people. It was ancient Babylon. Abraham came from the Ur of Chaldea. Watch what this says. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of Elohim of Israel was over them above. And the glory of Yahweh went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards, the Spirit took me up, brought me in a vision by the Spirit of Elohim into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity, all the things that Yahweh has shown me. And what captivity was our people in? The captivity that our people were in was called Babylon. Ancient Babylon, that's where they were. And Ezekiel was sent to prophesy to the our people, which was in ancient Babylon, the Chaldeans. That's where he was sent. And this is also where he received his vision. He's talking about the vision in Ezekiel 11 chapter. You read about this same vision in Ezekiel the first chapter. You'll see where Yahweh sent him to the people of the captivity in Ezekiel the second chapter and Ezekiel the third chapter. But this is none other than ancient Babylon. Now, who was there? Ezekiel prophesied there. Daniel was in Babylon, which is Chaldea. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Zephaniah, Micah. All these people were in Chaldea, ancient Babylon. And I'll do a more in-depth teaching on that. In modern time, Iraq. The country of Iraq. And there's many cities and many people in Iraq. It wasn't just one people in Iraq. It was many cities and stuff in Iraq. That was a country. Yes, sir.
Are women to be in a congregation while on her flowers?
All right. Now, this is what we teach here at the House of Israel, Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street. And let's go back to Leviticus, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to show you what we teach and why we teach what we teach. Because there are people who allow women to come into the congregation, whether they're clean or not, period. Now I'm hearing that there are people that have the men and the women sitting anywhere they want to sit. In other words, there's no separation at all. And Yahweh is a man of separation. How else? What do you think being holy is? It's being separated. Here it is. We just read a man can't wear what pertaining to a woman, and a woman can't wear nothing pertaining to a man. What do you think that's called? Separation. It's called separation. We see when a woman on her flowers, you can't even sit on her bed and sit on her chair, but you expect her to be able to come to the sanctuary to sit and everybody sit behind her. And then it says, anybody that touches her shall be unclean. So, in other words, we will have to just throw Yahweh's law down the drain. We would just might as well flush it down the toilet. In other words, if we're not to adhere to that, then what sense does it make if we make a difference between defiled, clean and unclean? The creeping thing, clean and unclean. The beast, clean and unclean. If we're not going to make a difference between that. Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus, the 15th chapter. Once again, 19th verse. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. Put apart of what? 7 days. That's the law. This is the law. I thought we supposed to be law keepers, commandment keepers. Watch what it says. Now, did it say, and if a woman have an issue and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days in the land? No, it didn't say nothing about no land. at all. Watch what it says. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. So we're supposed to have women coming in the sanctuary with her flowers. And the scriptures say whoever touches her shall be unclean. In other words, she's supposed to announce she's unclean. What kind of foolishness? She don't have to announce nothing. She's just set apart. I was at one little conference and a man announcing women are unclean. The women are unclean. The women that's unclean, they got to be in a corner and sit there. And if you go in the bathroom and then that is a total abomination. A woman knows when she's unclean, and she don't have to announce it. Not to the public. She just set apart. And watch what it says. Everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean, and everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And why? Because this separation first take place in the house. So if it take place in your own house, where she sit in her house, where she lie in her house, and nobody can touch her that's in that house, then what sense does it make for a woman to come to the sanctuary when it's Yahweh's house? And you can't even touch her in your own house. And you can't even sit behind her in her own house. And you can't lie on her bed in her own house. But yet she can come to Yahweh's house and sit, lie, touch anything. Now, do that make sense? Now, if you want to defile your own house, then that's fine. But you're not going to defile Yahweh's house. And watch what it says. And whosoever toucheth her bed, why? Because this is her house. She'll wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. In other words, Yahweh don't even want you to come to his house because you done touched her. Because you could have avoided her. You didn't have to touch her. But since you did, now you unclean until the evening. And whosoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. This all has to do with your house. We're not even dealing with the sanctuary yet. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, it shall be unclean until the evening. And if a man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days. And all the bedroom he lie shall be unclean. So in other words, this is something that you're supposed to practice in your own house, let alone in Yahweh's sanctuary. This is what you're supposed to do in your house. So are we to disregard this? No, we're not to disregard this at all. So the women that's unclean at the House of Israel, 1907 Vine Street, they stay home for 7 days. Now somebody said, well, they unclean for 14 days. No, they're not. They only unclean 7 days. In the land, they have to go through a 7-day purification. And so 7 days, they unclean. 7 days, they go through a purification, which is 14 days. And then after that, they can come to the sanctuary. But because we're not in the land, we don't have the women go through a 7-day purification because we can't purify them anyway. Only the only one that can purify any women are the priests. But they don't need purification to be with their husbands. They don't need purification to be in their own house. They don't need purification to touch one another. All they need is to wash themselves at the end of that 7 day and then they become clean again after 7 days. The only time they need to go through this purification of 7 days is when they go into the temple. And none of us have the various things to purify any of us. But you still are clean after 7 days. You still can be with your wife. You all still can integrate. And this is our rule of thumb. This is the wisdom and the understanding that Yahweh gave us. If you can touch your wife, if you can lay in a bed with your wife, if you can sit behind your wife, then she can integrate with us. But if you don't supposed to touch her, and you don't supposed to sit behind her, and you don't supposed to lie behind her, don't bring it to the sanctuary, because we can't either. And that's the law. And that's what we do at 1907 Vine Street. And anybody, other sanctuary, they let women in with their flowers. That's, in other words, where do it say that at? They have to justify. They have to establish it. And I know they can't. Next question.
Are we supposed to pray and read the word with our hair covered?
There is not one law that even suggests that a person has to have their head covered when praying. This comes from Judaism, and this also comes from Christianity, but not from the scriptures, not from the law. There's not one law. Now, if there's a law that they refer to that they might not understand, give me the law. Or if it's a scripture that suggests it, give me the scripture. I want to see it. But I know they can't because it don't exist. Now, they can go in the New Testament and they can quote Judaism, but they cannot the law. And there's not one law that even suggests it. Cover your head while praying. Next question. I don't even have to go to the book, unless they have a scripture that they want me to see. I know it ain't no scriptures, but if it is, I want to see it. Next question.
For a man with multiple wives.
Yes.
Are the women to be given separate houses?
This question is asked, if a man have multiple wives, should the women have separate houses? Well, some people are under the impression, since our father Jacob, who had four wives, and yes, these were his wives, they all dwelt in separate tents. And you can read this in the book of around Genesis, around the 29th and 30th and chapter, where he had these four women, and it shows that not only they had separate tents, but Jacob had a separate tent than his wives. So is Jacob to live in his own house, and then his one wife to live in another house, and his other wife to live in another house? Let us read this. And I'm going to show you that even Jacob had a different tent than his wife. Go to the book of Genesis. And I think specifically it's going to be in Genesis, the 30th chapter. Let me see which exact scripture. One second. Try to find this real quick. Let's see. Watch this. In the book of Genesis 31. And this is what it says. Genesis 31. And I'm going to start reading. And it says, with whomsoever thou findest thy idols, thy deities, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Yaakov knew not Rachel had stolen them. And the band went into Yaakov's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tent. But he found them not. Then when he out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent but found them not. In other words, they all had their own tent. So when it was time for one of his wives to be with him, they just came into his tent one at a time. Now, our people don't live in tents today. They live in houses. So what is a man to do and he have multiple wives? Well, do that mean they got to have separate houses? That don't make sense at all to me. To have a woman in every house. What man can afford that? Are they going to pay rent in those houses? That don't make sense at all. But it does make sense. A man having his own room. And then they can just enter his room whatever day it is. But if a man want to have several houses for each one of his wives, fine, that's good. If that's what he wants. But no, that's not scripture. That's not something that is in scriptures at all. Some people might have a duplex or a fourplex. Then I can understand because all your family right there in one building. But to have all these different buildings and you got to go to one county and another city and another community and another hood and just to see your family, that don't make sense at all. When all over the scriptures, the Almighty tell us to gather ourselves together. But we're supposed to have our women all over separated. That don't make sense at all. So, yes, Jacob had different tents, but they was all right there in the same property right there. I'm saying today our people don't live in tents. They live in houses. And you can accomplish the same thing that Jacob accomplished. Just come in my room. That's all. Individually, where we can have some privacy. Yes, sir. And while you getting the next question, another question was asked me, can I explain adultery and define it according to the scriptures? And yes, we can. Because most people are under erroneous impression of what adultery is. Many of our people think adultery is when you just sleep with somebody that you're not married with too. Some people believe adultery, if a man sleep with a woman, be with a woman, and he's married, that's adultery. And when a woman sleep with somebody outside of her marriage, that's adultery. That's not adultery. Let me show you what adultery is according to the law. And we're going to define it. Or not us, but Yahweh will define it in the book of Leviticus. And this may be our last question for the day, but all week long, bring your questions because we're going to answer all the questions according to Thus Says Yahweh. No opinions, no feelings, no own thoughts and own ways. Not this says you, not thus says me, not thus says him, not thus says her, but thus says Yah. And watch what it says in the book of Leviticus. Let's see. It's either going to be the 18th chapter or the 20th chapter. Let me get the verse. I think it's the 20th chapter. Leviticus 20. In the book of Leviticus 20, and watch what it says. And watch how Yahweh get right to the point. The 10th verse, Leviticus 20 and 10. It says, and the man that committed adultery with another man's wife, even he that committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress. Now, who is the adulterer? The adulterer slept with another man's wife. And who is the adulteress? It's the woman that knew she was married to another man. Shall surely be put to death. Brothers and sisters, the only way a man can commit adultery is when he sleep with another man's wife. You can't even consider it adultery unless she's married. Now, you can call it a lot of things if she's not married, if she's single, but it's not adultery. Adultery is when a man sleep with another man's wife. She's already taken. She belonged to somebody else, and that's adultery. And Yahweh said, the adulterer, which is the man, and the adulteress, which is the woman, because she knew she was married. She knew she belonged to another man. Both of them shall be put to death. That is adultery defined, and that's the law. And you won't find no other place where Yahweh would define adultery as anything else. So until tomorrow, bring your questions. And we will go and search and seek Yahweh for the answers. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole.
Uh-huh.
And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me.